Okay.
It always makes you fight.
He made my punch list.
And that was our first fight. Time is a flat circle.
Like, two people are gonna get this.
Ooh. Love, Kale.
Ew. I want him to crawl to me.
Now that was spicy.
Your Honor, I love him.
Gross! Why choose means you don't choose.
I want a third act breakup because I want him to grovel.
There are exceptions to every rule.
Trust me, I'm a father. Don't worry, Daddy's got you. Welcome to chapter 18 of the Smut Daddy Podcast.
Hi, guys.
Hi, everybody. This is our last episode of 2024, our end of year wrap up, and I am your host, Father Lib, aka the Smut Daddy.
And I am your co-host, Sister Britt, and we are just two besties that found each other on Bookstagram and can't imagine life without the other now.
This has been the longest but quickest year, I feel like, so far.
Yes.
And I feel like the podcast made things go by a lot quicker. Like the 3 months we've been podcasting.
1,000%. I'm like, we just started filming last week. What's happening?
Yeah. 18 episodes in 3 months, I feel like, is awesome. Like, we nailed it. Haven't missed a week yet. But I feel like since we started the podcast, because it comes around so quickly, I'm like, okay, now we film and now it's up and now we film. And now
I feel like we were so prepared, and now we're like,
we could all own it. When I got pregnant, I was like, what? I'm like, I have no idea what's going on anymore.
The little one owns it.
Yeah, she owns it. I'm hoping things calm down maybe by like the end of January. And then we're back like in a good flow. I mean, we are still scheduling people. We have lots of fun things planned for the new year. But holy bananas.
Like, I feel like I'm super old now, and they say it goes quicker as you get older, and I feel like it's so true.
It is. And then just with kids, like, I feel like I finally understand now when people are like, yeah, wait till you have kids. I'm like, well, I have a child and another one coming, and I feel like I blink and I'm like, what? How are we here?
Looking at like this year's pictures from Christmas morning to last year's, and I'm just like,
yes.
Oh, the changes. I'm like, how is this possible?
They grow up so, like, literally so fast, which I know everyone says, but like, especially because like I'm in the, like, a little bit of the younger stage. So
yes,
he was like,
you are.
Teeny little baby. And now he's like, hi, I'm a Hulk and the size of a 4-year-old, even though I'm
give
two
me all
and a
your
half.
Food.
Yeah, you get nothing. Mine. I'm just like, okay, well, last year you couldn't say anything and you barely could walk. So
what is that phrase that they say, that the days are long, but the years are short?
Which is the absolute truth. I don't even know what more to say, except I feel like my mind is in a blur. We're in a blur and we're here. It's the end of the year and I'm
wrapping. We had books to get us through.
Thank God. I've read like a whopping 322. I think.
Wow.
I'm going to. This was my year to go, because I know next year everything is going to change drastically. They say 1 to 2 is the hardest. And
an
from
adjustment.
Everyone's like, I would be prepared to read less. I'm like, I am. I'm taking the steps just to cut back on arcs. This was like my, I'm going to read every fucking arc that comes across my way. And I'm tired. I'm ready to just like enjoy reading. I want to reread.
I'm tired and my arcs are way lower than yours. But I'm like, we're slowing down in
2025. Slowing down. Like, I want to reread. Like, that's a big goal of mine.
I just realized some people don't do rereads.
Yes.
And
isn't
I'm like,
that
what?
Beyond like bizarre?
It is to me. Yes. To each their own. But I'm like, what now?
I know, like, LA was like, I just did my very first reread for the first time ever. Excuse me, what? I'm like, excuse me, what? I mean, I have definitely
comfort reads. I don't understand.
I've definitely do reread. Like, I've reread things this year, but I am excited to go like way back. Like, we are
going
to do a whole like 2025 New Year's resolution episode. That will be the next chapter episode that comes out for you guys as a little sneak peek. Yeah, I'm ready to like get back into bully territory, get back into like the OGs. Like, I want to read by Keelan, like, because she's re-releasing all of her books like with new covers and all this stuff.
Fun.
So I'm just, you know me, I pre-ordered every fucking one.
Yep.
and to like read things that made my infinity list this year, because I feel like this was the biggest year for me to add things to that and to just see how they hold up next year. I haven't, you know, I didn't reread Danny Black this year, which is like fucking criminal. and I only read Fourth Wing 12 times. Like, that's stupid. I should be more. But I am excited to get it. Slow down. I am ready to slow down. Make more content. Like, I totally abandoned my Bookstagram once we started the podcast. All your
creativity went into the podcast page.
Which is good. I love it. I love the podcast. But I want to, like, split my creativity up better with, like, marketing the podcast and still enjoying Bookstagram. I don't even know what content was the last content I made. Probably like an October wrap-up that I posted last week. But we are going to do rapid fire of every book that was our top read of the month. And then we are going to tell you which one took the cake of them all, which will probably be very obvious when we're describing them and talking about them because we love them. And I've already said mine about 12
times.
I've
already said mine as well.
So honestly, we're just going to dive right in because we both kind of just been in crazy territory with the holidays and everything and haven't done terribly too much reading. January is the only one, folks, that we have crossover. And that to me is bizarre because last year we had way more crossover, I feel like. Or at least a couple more.
Yeah.
I mean, everyone can go in their own
possibilities.
Everyone can go in their own directions, but I can't even believe that our year started with Kingdom of Ash.
Kingdom of Ash.
Holy bananas. I am showing off my original hardback covers that Mr. Smut Daddy got for me for Christmas because, wow, this was honestly best money he's ever spent. I don't even want to know. But I can't believe that we started with this in January. Mr. Smut Daddy was just like, wait, I thought that you read that last year. We started
We Throne of Glass. We finished it last year, but we did not.
We did not. We took our time. I just can't even. That one hurts more than a lot of others.
I mean, four blinks, Libby.
Four blinks to whatever end. Live, Manon, live.
It's Manon.
It's not. It's literally not.
It will always and forever be Manon inside my head. Okay, and chapter 89, but 90 is what got me.
Yeah.
OMG.
Honestly, the whole book.
I mean, yes, the whole book.
My paperback that I had down here originally destroyed. It is the most warped. It's the most warped copy of Kingdom of Ash that's probably ever existed. It's so good though. Like, I feel like I have a hard. I mean, my favorite is Queen of Shadows, but Kingdom
of
Ash.
That's my second. Kingdom of Ash takes my number one. We flip flop on those.
Oh, it's so good. It's so there. And she's thick, folks.
She's
if you
real
haven't
thick.
Dove into this series, she's like, what, 900 pages?
I haven't checked recently, but she was easy to read all of them.
She's 982. She's almost 1,000 pages. That's insanity. But honestly, it was one hell of a ride. I started a Throne of Glass reread this year. I literally stopped before Air of Fire because I got so sick with being pregnant.
Is that where you still are?
Yeah, I haven't picked it back up because I'm honestly afraid at this point. So everyone can judge me. That's fine. I will finish it, my reread next year, but I've taken the pause. We did the first part, right? Now the story is about to begin. It's an okay place
be
to
paused.
Be. But that is just insanity. I know that one will probably be the longest one we talk about. It's because, like, that's just crazy to me that it's been that long of a year. But also, like, it does feel like yesterday where I was going to say,
it feels like yesterday, but
where
it also is.
I was sitting by the Christmas tree crying, like, I can't believe all of the heartbreak. And me being like, are you caught up? so good.
Love it.
I mean, it will never be beat
that
for me.
That journey was just epicness.
I'd be very surprised if something ever genuinely took its place. I don't think anything will top it for me. And that's okay. I'm going to just let it live in its infamy.
Infamy.
So good.
It makes me think of Pearl Harbor. What a classic. Not the attack, but the movie.
I knew what you meant, but thank you for clarifying. Wow. I'm looking at my list and the way I just jump around now. Insanity.
In genres?
I mean,
not
everyone.
Genres, but in but, like.
But like, I mean, they all are definitely like Libby coded, but like to go from Kingdom of Ash to my next one, I'm like, well, that was definitely a reading journey.
Yep. Well, after we got emotionally wrecked in Kingdom of Ash,
I was destroyed.
My favorite February read was Pretty Rings and Broken Things by Kat Singleton with Archer and Winnie, my girl.
Winifred.
Winifred, love her so much, love him so much.
Yeah.
Arranged marriage, forced proximity, just open communication.
Yep.
They solved a problem together. Mind blowing. I was blown away. Loved them. Loved them to pieces.
They were good. Archer Moore, he is definitely up there. He's a good one.
Yeah, he's a top 10 book boyfriend.
Ooh, see, I feel like he'd be like a 12th or 11th, but close for me.
I do need to reevaluate, and
I haven't looked in a while.
Although I do still love him, he might be moving down. Yeah.
After I was destroyed emotionally, I went into my arc of holding the rein. That was my top read.
Phenomenal. For February.
It was so good. Cece and Nash, she's coming home after her dick of a fiance, and he's just the best hockey player that's also a cowboy that's ever existed, because there's not that many out there. Just honestly, so good.
So good.
Love the shower scene that's early on. I love their like fun banter. It's not like the enemy banter. They just have a lot of like quick whip banter. And he crawls to her. And that is honestly the thing that sticks out the most in my brain, is because I was going through, my friend was like, well, our friend Claire was like, I'm doing a post and I need to know books where he crawls to her. And I was like, girl, do I got a list? But I was like, you know what? You gotta put Holding the Reins on there though, because that's the one that finally made me open my eyes.
Can I jump in real quick? She put up a question box and I said, you just need to DM Libby.
Oh, I must have missed the box. Yeah, because she did. And then when I gave her my list, she was like, that's a lot of books. I was like, I know, but it took until Holding the Reins for me to be like, wait a goddamn minute. There is no better microtrope to me. Get on your knees and crawl to me.
Do you know what else she does that I love in that
crawl
one?
To daddy.
Braids her hair.
Oh, yeah. Braids her hair. It's just so good. And then
we got to have Paisley come on.
Yes. And she talked to us. And she's so wonderful. And
so full disclosure, Holding the Reins almost made my list. But it didn't. Something else that same month bumped it out, because she's going to be represented later in the.
Which is so good. And plus, I did read it first. I remember reading that and being like, hey, I don't pull the best friend veto card, like, or priority card that often, but I remember being like, you have to read this, because if you don't, I'm gonna spoil it for you. I loved it.
It was one of my rare physical book reads this year.
Oh yeah, she's so good. I have the like old school copy too, but I couldn't find it. Not that it matters, but love the new one.
Yeah, I think I have three covers of it so far.
I feel like I am one of the last people ever to not read Training the Heart, but I am sticking true to, like, that is going to be my New Year's Eve read. Like,
and I did read it already.
I want to end on a very good note. I know I'm going to love it.
I couldn't continue to have the FOMO, so.
And I feel like it's been okay, because I've been, like, off Instagram, like, Bookstagram less. So I'm like, I'm not getting anything spoiled. Everything's great.
Top 10 book boyfriends. Wade's making his way on that, baby.
Wade, I know, Wade and scrunchies. That's about all the info I have.
I mean,
that's all
you really need to know.
I am so beyond here for it. I'm very excited to jump in. What do you got for March?
March was Play With Me by Becca Mack. I love
You did that this year.
This was my first year reading it. So that was a first read. It was not a reread. That was my first time reading Gare Bear and Jenny. And boy, did I love them. I loved their dynamic. You felt their like awkwardness, but their connection. And then the transition to a secret relationship and the toys as teammates. And I just.
Yes, that's what I remember.
Loved them so freaking much. They were so good for each other and what each other needed. And Carter,
I honestly need to do a reread.
Dick in that book too. I get so mad at him at the end. He's a rude to Gare Bear, but the way he treats Jenny, ghosting his sister, I'm like, what are we doing? She's supposed to mean the world to you. Like, stop
this
it.
This is where I'm like, gross. Well, I have a lot of love for him. That's where I'm an apologist. He did nothing wrong.
Carter did nothing wrong?
Was kidding, obviously, but if Dean Yenin can be redeemed, so can Carter. Not that they're the same. I'm just saying that there are circumstances.
I like Tamlin more than I like Carter.
Oh God, now you're being just cuckoo. You need some fucking Xanax. Get out of here.
But I love.
But it was good. I need to do a reread.
Their show is so good. I loved them.
I need to do a reread.
Their found family is really good
too.
I love their family.
Fall With Me. I just haven't had the time.
I still haven't gotten to it either. But I did get it.
I have it. I have the pretty cover. But so maybe when it's time next year, I'll do a reread. And then that way it'll lead me into fall with me.
I don't know
me.
If my brain is like playing tricks on me because it's a Lennon, even though it's a girl Lennon. You know, it's weird to read your kids' names sometimes.
Yeah, I do know. And a bunch of Theos popped out of the woodworks this year. And I was like, I named him first. I literally named my kid that first. I was nervous, which we'll get to later, but like with Lena, I was like, because we didn't know what one of the characters' names was for a while. And I was like, I swear to God, if you try to tell me this is a Theo, we're going to have problems, girl. But then we were all good. We were all good. But I mean, it could still pop up in the new series, but I'm like, we're okay. We're okay. We got through.
My March
took me by fucking surprise. This is probably one of my most like shocking reads. I applied for the art because I was like, you know what? I'm really into fantasy, romanticy, and The Veiled Kingdom, loved it. 10 out of 10, the first one. This is the special edition and the pink hardback.
She's beautiful.
She's so pretty. I love her. This is book one, and I thought it was better than book two. Like book two was like a 4.5, but this one, so good. Secret identity. He's the prince of the rebellion. She's the heir to the kingdom, but she wants no one to know, so that's who gets this, like, so she becomes the secret identity. And this has true banter, like true enemies to lovers banter. He is a filthy, filthy mouth, and I love it. And the cliffhanger,
I feel like that's a rarity in romanticy.
I know. And this cliffhanger, I screamed. I literally screamed out loud because it's like, so run and wait 4 months. I was like, what? What do you mean? Because I didn't know going in that it was a cliffhanger. Because you know me, I barely read the tropes. Right. I'm like, oh, sounds like everything I like. Oh, yeah. He's so good. Everything about it was so good. I'm really excited for the third one to come out because book two also ended on a cliffhanger. She set up a little Twilight love triangle. I'm addicted. But like, there's a clear winner. And that's why I say Twilight is because like, there was always a clear winner. We all always knew she was going to end up with Edward. But it's just the annoyance of the Jacob. And I'm just like, you know what? I'm here for it. Like, I'm loving it. I'm living it.
And how many books are in the series?
I think this will be 3, maybe 4. And 3 comes out, the cover reveal comes out in like a day or two. So that's okay. Got to be coming in like February.
I didn't get to this one, but now I'm like, do I wait until they're
all out? It really is so good. Like, truly, this one, I'd like signed up for it. And I was like, it'll probably be a 4 or 5 star read. Like, it has everything I want. And then for it to be like, boom, kicked everything else out that I read in March, I was like, well, there you have it, folks. The Veiled Kingdom. I'm pumped. I'm really excited for the next one. It's so good. I'm really glad that like this year solidified like the romanticy category. Like that is definitely a new type of trope, a new type of category for romance. Cause like Throne of Glass isn't romanticy. I would never classify it as that. There's not enough like sex and spice. Like it's just mostly people's journeys. And then like they do happen to have a mate. But you know what I mean? Like this is like clearly like, hey.
I guess I never thought of it. I mean, I consider it a romanticy, I guess.
I guess, but I don't, because like then I read a romanticy and I was like, this has spice and banter and they be fucking. They just be doing what they need to do, but like mixed in with the plot.
People that are on their talk journey were DMing me, when do they actually bang?
Right. And you're like, they actually only do it one time in chapter 67 and it's so hot it turns the sand to glass.
I think they were on Queen of Shadows and I was like, oh,
you have a long time to go. That's like, because it's more like Fade to Black. Even, I mean, that's really all we get. It's like, it was so hot it turned the sand to glass, which I loved. But then I was like, then it was like Fade to Black, but I wasn't mad about it. But like this, they be having thoughts on page. You know what I mean? Like, we're descriptive. And he has a filthy mouth. And so I'm just like, you know what? I'm here for it. I think you'll really like it, honestly. It's not like it's some crazy love triangle that you're like, I don't know who to root for. This sucks. It's like, there's a clear winner. But the way the love triangle is like set up, it's like not by choice. Like one of the sides is choosing while the other two are clearly in love. You know what I mean? So good. You'll really like it. Probably just wait.
I'm going to wait until
the third one comes out. And because I do think that might be the last one. And then you're just like, boom, all caught up. April. What you got for April?
April, I have A Tempting Arrangement by Jay Wilder. This is a spinoff from her Rule Breaker series. So we had met Misty and Damon briefly in Rules of Our Own. Misty, we had met the whole series, but Damon, we got to see in Rules of Our Own. And it is a billionaire a little bit morally gray. It's Secret Society.
Love morally gray.
Yes, love the morally gray. Secret Society, Marriage of Convenience, man obsessed. Like, he has been obsessed with Misty for a long time. And he found a way to make her his, and he just went with it. I mean, there might have been some light stalking involved and like cameras in her apartment.
It never hurt anybody.
But it's fine. It's fine.
Me, I'm like, that's literally fine. I'm going back to my bully romance era. You think there aren't things in places that people didn't ask? That's fine. And they're just in love.
Thanks to those cameras, we got one of like the hottest scenes I've read in a long time. When someone comes over to take her on a date and he comes over and locks him out on the balcony and proceeds to bang her over the counter while he's stranded on the balcony.
Actually mine. Mine.
Yeah. And he owns the hockey team. And so now that player is bye-bye.
You're like, you actually are bench for the rest of your existence. Yeah. Sorry.
It's so good. Fun fact about Misty, the FMC. Her name was chosen as like a giveaway in Jess's reading group.
Oh, yeah.
And she never really thought that she would become an FMC. Like, this was way back in the Rule Breakers too. Yeah. She's like, well, Misty is it. And here she's getting her own book. But she named her middle name after my middle name. So
that is
Lynn
so cool.
is her middle name. And so I was just,
I love it.
What the fuck? Because I'm a big thing about middle name moments. And she's so sweet. I loved her so much. And I love this book so much. Like, I ate it all up. I was here for it. And I'm happy to see where the series continues. The next book was great as well.
Oh,
what's your April favorite there, Father Lib?
This one might hurt some people. Not really, but This Man, Just This Once by Lena Hendricks. Wow. I'm at a loss for words because just wow. I also picked the special edition that I got
because she did
such a good job with him. But I feel like a lot of people are like, I'm so surprised that like you picked him. But he 100% caught me off guard. I thought because of Lee Sullivan, I would be a king forever because that is like the most emotional book she's wrote. And Annette and her trying to tell him and him being like, I don't want to talk about this. And I'm just like, listen, you're giving everything Brittany wants, Annette, and it's not your fault, girl. I was nervous, obviously, going to the Kings. We've hate the Kings. We have like not liked the Kings. I mean, besides when we got to like one night and we were like, okay, like I'm understanding a little more. But when I read Whip and Prim, like literally I knew by like chapter 4, I was like, oh shit, you're not even in the middle. You are not sitting in the middle of the bar. You are fully committed to being a king. I love him. I don't know. It's just the firefighter. He's the substitute
strong
teacher.
Alpha male.
He's got a fancy
with Lee. That's
he's got
hilarious.
A fancy peen. I mean, yeah, he's peen. All the way stacked up on there. I don't know. And it's like the one night stand. And then they both didn't see it coming. Like, she didn't know that she was going to come into town anyway. And he was like, I literally slept with you because I thought you weren't from this town and all the chaos. And I don't know. I think I saw a lot of myself in Prim where she has the biggest heart, but there are just times where she's stubborn to a fault because she like wants to do best by everybody. But like sometimes you got to know when to give and take. And I feel like Whip does a good job of being like, hey, you have to give some, you're giving too much. Like you got to pull back. I don't know. I love them. And every time someone says like, well, what's your favorite book? I'm like, well, it's obviously JP. And they're like, well, JP's not out yet. And I'm like, you asked. You literally asked. I know. You know me. I'm going crazy. I'm in her DMs all the time. Yeah. Like, hey, when are the arcs coming? She's like, 2 weeks before, like, always. I'm like, okay. But Whip will be my number two, without a doubt. There's no way that he's going to change that position. And so, I don't know. I just love him. I think it's because he truly took me by storm. Like, I was like, I love a king. I was like, I thought I hated you. And I think that's what it was, is I was like so ready to hate them and kind of be like, you know what? This part of the series, we're like going to let it go. And then I read it and I was like, you know what? This part of the series, we're going to hold on tight too. We're going to really hold on tight. And they are all good so far. Like, Abel was good. And
I love Abel and we'll see Royal later.
Yes. And I'm just like, you know what? Is my guy. And I feel like when we were chatting with Lena, she was like, oh, that makes sense. Like, I feel like a lot of people did get like brought you guys over. And I'm like, he really did. He's so good. And I do love their little like banter. I don't know. I just love that he calls him prim. Prim and proper. Just, I'm like, you know what? There's nothing wrong with that, Whip, okay? There's nothing wrong with manners.
So yep, nothing wrong with it.
He is so good. I cannot wait, though. Like, I know I keep saying it, but I can't wait for JP. I just, there's something so good about him. Like, I just, like, and then that when she came on and was, like, telling us things about it, I was like, you literally wrote this book for me. You can just say it. I bullied you into it and you decided to please me. That's fine.
I'm excited. I did, as I'm saying earlier, that I'm trying to slow down and not sign up for as many arcs. I did sign up for it. I can't
stop.
So
I guess I should say I was signing up for all kinds of arcs, like debut, this and that. But if I'm not like on your team,
yeah,
or you are not literally like my top three auto buy author, which she is, I have taken a step back. And there's nothing wrong with that. I can still support the debut authors.
Oh, yeah.
But when they come out, it needs to be when they come out, like on my own time, because I've just been locking myself too much in. And it can't. But that one, she literally said, like, she sent the email out and she DM'd me, or I DM'd her or something. And I was like, I signed up. She was like, I know. You were the very first one. And I was like, damn straight I was. Yep. You thought I was going to just hit the brakes? Hell no. She's so good. She's also someone that, like, I'm just so excited she came on and talked to us. I think she's coming amazing. Back for MJ.
Ooh,
so nice. That'll be fun. I can't remember if it's that or if she's coming for the first one of her new series. Honestly, I can't remember anything right now, but she's going to come back on. She's wonderful. A dream come true. I feel like we've knocked off some really cool authors already. Yeah. I'm like, wow, we're so cool. May. What's your May?
As I'm just looking at it, I'm like, oh, that's cute. The cover is green and the birthstone for May is emerald. So it's green.
And I was just thinking, oh, April was my birthday month. So no wonder I loved him so much.
Right. Yes. It was a birthday gift from Lena to you.
Yes. I'm like, this is great.
But my favorite book for the month of May was The Puck Decoy by G.N. Wright.
I love that cover. And I love your edits for it. Whenever I think of your edits, I always think of that one.
Edit that you guys encouraged me to use as my like template going forward. Yeah. So
I always think
that beautiful green dress. I was so excited when I found that picture. But this is a book two in her Fairfield U series. It's one of those college series that I don't feel like they're super young or immature in any way. Like they're, you can tell they're college, yes, but like it's one of them that I don't have a problem at all with their age. It just makes sense. And this is one where it's, I'm like also thinking like, man, marriage of convenience.
I love marriage. Like, I'm like, I love
one
marriage.
One of my top tropes because this is another one that's
anything that's like fake or like involved in some type of weird relationship. I'm like, that's probably a top trope of mine.
Yes. Which people are like, but they're in college. Why? And I'm like, but it makes sense because his father is a politician and it just makes sense, you guys. Don't question it.
You have to read it. Don't question it. Read it.
But I loved it because it's like kind of like almost childhood best friends, not strangers because his sister is the FMC's best friend, but like he definitely started to put some distance between them. So, and then they're coming to be lovers. It's just, I love this story so much. And the FMC Hallie, I do have to say, is the first FMC that I've read that is written in the book that she is autistic, and I feel like that representation is so important, and Gabby did it so well, and I just loved how it was portrayed in truth, and how Josh, the MMC, had been keeping a notebook for years about things that she liked and didn't like and what would help her and the tools that she needed to succeed, and it is just so well done. Their connection was just felt from the pages. Like their teammates and their friends are just happy. They're like, when they skate together for the first time, like their teammates are like in awe and shock of them. It's just so beautiful. I loved it. I felt so much joy reading this book, and I am super excited for the next one.
Yeah.
The Puck Chase that comes out next month.
Is that the one that's purple?
Purple and it's MM.
I wanted to make sure we got it. Yeah, I'm excited
Damon
for that
and Archer,
as well.
I'm like super pumped. It's like rivals kind of ish to lovers.
I'm all about the MM, honestly. As
we
we've all
truth
heard.
Or dare scene, which we got in this one. Oh, Lord have mercy. The truth or dare chapters are just something
They're
to
like,
behold.
What a win.
Yes. Well done. Well done, Gabby.
I need to read it.
You do need to read it. Did you read The Puck Secret?
I read The Puck Secret, so I just need to keep going. And it was good. I like The Puck Secret, but I want to keep going because when
it's out
she
on
did,
audio, so you
when
can do it.
I saw that it was MM, I was like, well, I'm going to have to read that one for sure. I'm like, I am.
And the purple is so pretty.
Oh, it is so gorgeous. She does such a good job with her covers.
She does.
They're so good. My May was not my most surprising, but this author found me. Actually, my next two, the authors found me. And that, I feel like, tells, I don't know, it just like was so surprising. Surprised me because I feel like a lot of authors do slide in like, hey, I think you might like this. But both of these next two authors for me, they were like, I know you will like this. Like, I literally wrote this book because I had you as a reader in mind. So for my May, it is Somewhere You Belong by Harlow James. And this is book one in the Carrington Cove series. And I know that I have my top three favorite small town authors, but this series would probably make it into my top three, even though I have my top three favorite authors, because that is how fucking good it is. Everyone needs to read this. If you like small town, you should be reading this series, this book. It is so good. Willow is a self-made billionaire. And nice. Dallas is, hell yeah.
And you get the FMC as the billionaire.
Girl power. Yeah, you don't see that very often.
No.
Dallas Shepard, oh my God, I love him. He is an ex-Marine, now turned bar owner of Catch and Release in Carrington Cove.
It's a great name.
Right? And it's North Carolina, and I feel like not a lot of books take place there, but she is left a house by a random stranger in Carrington Cove, and it is the house that Dallas has wanted for his whole entire existence. So then when he shows up to knock on her door, it's immediate like, you are a fucking bitch. I don't even know who you are, and I've never seen you a day in my life, but I fucking hate you because this is my dream. And then you fast forward through a whole bunch of stuff, and you learn how she got that house and who left her that house, and you're gonna cry, but it's so good. Like, it's not like emotionally devastating like some that are to come that are my favorite, but it is just so good. Great banter, and I feel like I can't say that often. Like, I could say it for The Veiled Kingdom, but that was in Romantasy, but sometimes they label banter in small town and we're all like, no, that's not banter. This is banter because he's a grumpy fucking asshole. He is so crotchety that he didn't get that house. And she's like, I am literally so rich, I am going to just buy you out of everything. And I just love it. I love their dynamic. And he has a manners kink, as in, like, he gets to be crouchy and crotchy at her. And then, like, she still better say, like, please and thank you and yes, sir. He's going to be like, excuse me? Oh, it's hot.
Love that.
So hot. It is good. I love her discreet covers.
I'd say that cover's real pretty.
The motto covers are, like, good, too, or the couple covers, but all of them are like of the lighthouse and their view of which house, like which character's house you're in. Like, that's the view you get out of the front.
Oh, that's,
and they're all colored
super
like
cool.
It. Yeah. Oh my gosh.
I love those details.
I mean, too. And I only know these things because, like, I am in Harlow's DMs constantly. Like, she's right up there, honestly, with Lena.
You did
she's
an
probably
edit
like
for this one, didn't you?
Yes. Oh, yeah. And it's probably one of my favorite edits I've done. Book two. I almost added book two on here as well, but I was like, you know what? First, we're going to diverse, except there is someone that's on here twice. But that's only because it's a duet and it's Infinity and we're all getting to it and we all know what it is. I am in her DMs a lot because I'm like, I can't believe you found me. Like, that is what surprises me. Like, you truly knew. Like, you're going to love it. You're going to love it and you need to read it. And now she just finished writing the last book. Like, she just said the end on the last one, but, like, book three is just about to come out in January, and that was book five. And so I'm just, like, I'm mind blown by her, by
she
her
just
story.
She just finished book five, but only
and
three
book,
is about to come out?
Yes! Like, she
Holy
just
moly.
Blows my mind with her writing. Just everything. Like, every little detail. Like, nothing's left undone. You know, you're not like, I don't know how to explain it. There is truly something so special about Carrington Cove that I'm like, if you genuinely love small town and you want to live in small town land, this has to be on your list. I have my auto buy authors like Devney and everyone else, Lena, but like, she's amazing. That series is so good. I can't wait. I literally can't wait. I know my ALC is coming for book three coming up in the new year, and I'm just like, I can't wait. Like, I'm on her team, so that's where I'm like, I'm excited. I think I only have like five books that are technically like that I'm truly trying to read in January, but that is one of them. I can't wait. So good. You need to read her.
I know you're busy.
But she really is so good. I'm obsessed. June.
June. We have
Pick Six by Maggie Rodden. It is book one in the Seattle Phantoms football series by her. And caveat is a like pre-short, pre-novella that you need to read first, defensive end, that you get on her website, maggierodden.com, as a download.
Oh, yeah. It's like her bonus for signing up for her newsletter.
Yes. It's like 10,000 words or something like that. It's super short. You'll fly through it, but it has a lot of information that's important. It's their initial meet cute because they meet in the past, but they both recognize that they're not at the same point. Like, he wants to be a fuckboy and she's ready to settle down. And so they're adults. And
isn't
say, like,
that always the case?
Shocker. Shocking. Everyone. So they do kiss that night, but then like they just decide to go their ways, and then Pick Six starts. And this is,
you love this book. I've heard a lot about this book from you, this in a good way, obviously.
Alexander, like, and Harper, and I was shook when I read this part because she ended up marrying his best friend, who was also his football agent.
Ooh.
And they
someone
end up
said. We crossed all the lines. There were no lines. They all blurred.
Right. When the line was something about, like, my ex-husband's best friend, I was like, what the
They were
fuck?
Like, well,
what
but then
happened?
it makes sense with one of the books you like later.
Yes, it does. So it was just like, okay, all right. And they get into a situation where he ends up defending her against someone who's drunk and handsy at a party, and he ends up punching him. And in order to, like, save face and, like, make this go away because it's a teammate that just got traded and not have this huge, big issue blow up, they come up with a fake dating arrangement to save face. And you know I love
I'm like
fake
you
dating.
Know I love fake dating.
Yes. And these two are just, they're so cute. Like, he has been obsessed with her since that first night that they met. His nickname for her comes from that night. Saint, one of my favorite nicknames. It just fits for them so well because she's this, like, nerdy museum library geek wearing her cardigans, but, like, still wants to have
she's
fun.
Very,
and he just
she seems
loves,
like she'd be my friend.
Yes, I would want to be her friend. And he just loves her so much and wants to, like, do everything for her. And I eat those two up. It's just, that whole series is, they're all 5-star bangers, in my opinion. I loved every single book of that series, that trilogy. So
love it.
They were a good way to start it off and solidified my Maggie love. So we'll see her again.
I'm like a banger for you.
Yes, yes. What about you? What's your June?
June is the second author that found me, and that is G.A. Mazurk. And this is the biggest book that I read besides Kingdom of Ash. It is she is like 600 pages. And my very first line of my review that I looked was, it should have been longer. Okay, well, you're psychotic. I love it. It's marriage of convenience. There's just something about
it works so well.
It's so good. And they fucking hate each other. These two, they are not friends. And this is marriage of convenience because they're trying to save their rival ranches. They each have a ranch, Bar 9 and, oh, the 7 Seas. And both of their ranches are going under. So the way that they get to, like, keep all this land is because of all of those whatever dumbass old men contract was drawn up as if they were married. And there's a baby clause. I will tell everyone, though, in case that puts you off, you do not see the baby clause. Like, that to me hurt me, even though it's still 5 stars. But, like, don't let that deter you away because you're like, oh, I don't want to read that. It doesn't happen. That's later in life. I think you see it in, like, the extended epilogue, which is, like, the second one. He's a true cowboy. He's been there the whole time. She left the ranch to go be a lawyer, as assistant. What is those called? Like, I can't.
A legal assistant?
Yeah, she's like a legal assistant. A paralegal. She's a paralegal. There's romantic suspense involved. You will literally laugh until you cry. You will also cry because you're crying. It is.
There's crying
it is just,
in the book you love? What the?
Oh,
what the
God. It's so good. Oh, and, like, I thought this was cool too, just to point out for us people watching. So this is the model cover, and this is the discreet cover. Like, it's not like the book is split in half. Like, she just gave us both options with how we wanted to display it, which I thought
that's so
was
nice.
Really cool. I had never seen an author do that before. She had the coolest PR box.
I don't ever really read blurbs, so it's not really necessary.
Oh, yeah. I know. So I thought that was awesome.
Use those two covers.
She also had the best PR box I've ever seen, just solely based off of, like, remember it had the character art imprinted on it, and it was, like, all of the purples, and they each matched with their,
like even it had, the inside of the box.
Yes. It had all
the pictures right or something?
Yeah. And, like, in old-timey frames, like, if they were hung on the wall, like, for a old family tree, had all the details of each of their ranches signs. Literally so good. Like, if you're like, oh, I love cowboys and I love small town Marriage of Convenience, yep, you've nailed it. That's the only book she put out this year. Maybe one other under, like, Serena Aykroyd is also, she was writing under that, but now this is her real name. So I'm anxiously waiting for book two. I think it's going to be a big old thick boy, but I'm very excited. You get set up at the end of this. I don't want to give it away because it's not like a cliffhanger, but it like really sets up who's going to be next. I can't wait. I'm honestly a little bit concerned because I know I'm going to love them. But I actually made an edit for them too. Back-to-back months of edits because they just, I loved it. That's so good. I want to reread it right now. I'm obsessed. I don't have time to read it, but
2025.
Yep. Year of rereads. Right. July.
We've mentioned this one before on the podcast, is Unravel Me by Jen Plummer. It was her debut. Is small town romantic suspense. Second chance.
So good. Oh, it's so good.
So fucking good. It takes place in the Pacific Northwest, and from the first page I just felt like immersed in her world. I just loved her writing style.
And for a debut,
yes,
I'm get out, literally get out,
that it was her debut. Like, she started writing this year in January. Like,
yep.
I'm just like, what?
I remember telling you, like, oh, she's gonna have Devney potential, and yes, boy did she just keep on proving that to be right.
Yes. And Sawyer and Ivy were just so good. The running. That was brain chemistry altering for me.
So good. Chef's kiss.
I was a little nervous with Reed and how he had, you could feel a little connection there between them. And then I was like, what is happening?
You were freaking out. I was like, I don't know what direction. I think I'm going to love it.
And when he was like, dude, she's like struggling. She's crying. She's upset. And he's like, okay. And he's like out that door. He's like, I am not waiting another minute. If she's hurting, I am going to her. And they're,
it's so good.
Connection at the house. Their reconnection, but they're like, whatever. But it was just beautiful. I love their story so much.
It's so good.
So freaking good.
And each book just kept getting better.
It has a great mirror scene.
Yeah, mirror play is definitely...
I am appreciating the mirrors more.
It's starting to climb more and more.
And a jizzing in the pants.
Oh, I was going to say, how are you going to leave out your top?
I know. Save the best for last.
Yeah.
I loved it.
It is a good one.
The series.
Yeah, we have talked about it a couple times.
And the novella series spinoff.
Yeah.
The whole world.
She's nailing it.
Loving it.
For a debut author this year, she's honestly knocked it out of the park.
Yes, because then you had Ready or Not, novella in October, Crave Me in December, Sweet Girls coming out in February.
Yeah.
She's on a roll. And that's Why Choose. I'm like, I get to read a small town, Why Choose?
Yeah.
Like, okay, yes, sign me up.
You're going to eat it up.
I am. I'm excited.
Well, July is a book that you've never heard me talk about, literally ever. Ta-da!
What? What is that book?
I've never heard of this book ever, Crossroads by Devney Barry. I'm like, what to say about this book that Father Lib hasn't said before? If this is your first time watching or listening, Crossroads is going to change your motherfucking life. I feel like I obviously love to live in small town land, and I can give endless praise to small town. Like, I've had four on my list already, but I feel like I have never said this small town book changed like my soul. Like, that's the Togs of the world and people's ACOTARs and fourth wings. Like, it's mostly normally fantasy because it's so otherworldly that it's so like epic. Changes some. Yeah, it yes. like literally changes your DNA. And I have read like 50 books by Miss Devney Perry. She's a top three autobi author. I'm obsessed with her. And so I knew that Crossroads was going to be 5 stars. I was like, this is going to be amazing. What I didn't expect was it for literally to change my soul. I love Lena and I love A.L. Jackson and other people, but they have never wrote a small town book that has like truly altered my brain chemistry. And that is saying something. Devney Perry absolutely destroyed me with Crossroads. It's just, it's so good. West Haven is one of my all-time favorite cowboys. He owns and runs Haven River Ranch. Mike Sweatshirt, of those that are not watching. And his father kind of sucks and has literally let them believe that their ranch has been doing fine. And it is not. They are going severely under. They literally are so behind on bills that the bank is rolled in. And so in comes India Keller, who has been visiting this ranch with her mom and dad her whole life, since they were like 6 years old, every summer. And she comes in and she buys that ranch, and the dad leaves it up to India to tell them all. After she told him, the dad was like, yeah, I'm gonna tell him. He did not tell his boys. And so that honestly starts off everyone on a bad fucking foot. Like, it is so like enemies to lovers, but with these epic flashbacks of you watching them fall in love as children, like up until aww. The age of 21, you're getting flashbacks constantly every summer. What's going on? All these things. And you're living out the real world, like while they're going it and as adults and all these things. And she's constantly in contact with her dad on the phone. Oh God. And it is so good. It honestly has one of the biggest twists I have ever seen in a small town, but it is not romantic suspense. You are just so completely blindsided by this moment under a willow tree that I thought I was going to hyperventilate and die from how hard I was crying. You would have thought Lele had just died, like all over again. Like, but like truthfully, but it's so beautifully done. And it is in that moment where I feel like, and I've talked to other people that have like read it, that they're like, oh, it changed my whole life once you realize like that moment and everything we've just been through. I'm afraid to reread it, not because I think it'll go down, but because it's like everything is just getting fucked up in my rankings because West.
It's just making everything else
not. Yes, it's good. Like nothing else is as good when clearly there are books that are so good. But this made my Infinity Star Reads list. And that, I feel like, if you know me, is a coveted fucking list. Like, I am stingy with my Infinity Stars. I regret nothing. If I could give it 2 Infinity Stars, I would. I truly recommend it to everybody. Like, it can be, it's a duet series, but it can be obviously read as a complete standalone. And that is Devney Perry's best work. I know she's coming out with a fantasy book and I'm excited for it in the new year, but it'll truly surprise me if she ever beats that in my rankings, because I don't think it ever will get better than the Haven River Ranch.
I know it still didn't happen, but Devney okay. will be on 2025 along with Catherine.
She is so good. We will see the other part of the duet later, because I was honestly prepared. I was like, you know what? You get one. You know, I'm like, you get one. It's yep. epic. And then when she pulled up with the other one, I was like, son of a bitch. I feel like I'm like, I can't believe I just added another one. But truly, please, everyone read it. I feel like I have bullied a lot of people so far into it. And then they get to that point and then they're sending me pictures crying and they're like, my soul, Shane. I'm like, yeah, you get it. Everyone gets it now. So I can't wait for you to read it. You're going to love yes. it. Like literally, it's not even, I know you. And so I know you're going
to
love it.
Forward to sunlight too and having another accidental pregnancy that can be.
Yes.
Caleb.
Oh God. And it's.
Sorry, we can talk about
no,
that.
No, it's okay. But like, I know I can't wait. August
is going to shock nobody. This is when I beta read it, so I am keeping it in this month, and it is Bull Rush by Maggie Rodden. I know we just had her 2 months ago, but we are back in August with her because holy fucking shitballs, Ramsey Stockton is top 10
that was
book boyfriend.
Good.
Phenomenal. Like,
it was hard not honestly not to pick.
I know, and it technically came out in September, but I was able to read it in August, so she went to yeah. August so that another book could be in September. But
I won't lie, almost all of these have been like ALCs or ARCs, so people are like, that yeah. didn't come out then. Well, that's because I read it early.
Yes. This is a divorce of convenience. The
first time. It's so good. Me too.
Forced proximity. Just their banter and relationship is just so good. There's
it's
this
so good because it's like you guys fucking hate each
like
other low key, but
love because they thought they were divorced. She's like bitter because she thought he was screwing.
She like re-fell in love. She's like, hey, you're ruining my whole fucking life. By the way, did you know that?
Yes, because she had it all figured out. She had a plan. She had a future to look forward to, and he comes back and just fucks it all up in the best way
and
possible.
I'm like, in the best way possible. So
there
good.
Are so many memorable scenes in this book. The phone sex.
Mine is always goes to phone sex first.
And the mine afterwards. Oh my God.
Oh yeah. I
that
really
is
do
a
always.
Mine. We love a man who paints. Okay, you
yeah.
guys.
Like, I always do think of the phone sex first because I'm like, they don't do phone sex in books that often anymore. And that
was
done
going chronological, not gonna lie. The last one is what I think of first, but I appreciate this one so very much because it really set the tone. And I just was like,
absolutely.
Okay, yes, let's keep going. And then we have the wedding dress scene.
Oh, yeah.
And
everyone needs to read it.
He uses the toy with him.
Toys are friends.
Toys
That's
are
what he
friends.
Said. Toys are
and
our
that,
friends.
That little toy. Fucking, but the way he did it, I was just like, okay, I'm down with this. I love this.
You're like, I can actually get behind this for once.
Then we have the kitchen scene.
Yeah, that's the second one that pops in my head.
That's what takes my first cake is the kitchen scene with the fiance tied to a chair watching as he makes her come because he can't. And then he takes the duct tape off of his mouth and spits in that man's mouth as the last time he's going to taste her. And just
that was one of the most baller mic drop lines I've ever read.
Yes. And then later in the book, you have this woman become a you touch him and you die moment.
Yeah, that's always a fun twist when you get to that.
Yep. So I love this book so very much. I'm excited for Dark Horse in spring of 2025. Maggie's world is one big world. So I
yeah.
do recommend you read Queen City Chaos first. And at the end of Bull Rush, you meet a couple of characters that are in her Waichu series, Lords
yeah.
of Misrule, which is actually my first book by her. So there's lots of Maggie to be read and enjoyed. But those two series I would suggest if you want to know who everyone is in the book
yeah,
to read
absolutely.
It first.
I know. I'm excited for
you
the
get
next one.
Coop and Beatrix in Bull Rush.
Oh yeah, Bex.
Since their story, Mind Again is where you meet Ramsey, and he really stole the show in that book too. Yeah,
that's what I said in my review. I was like, yeah. So Ramsey. All I'm focused on, honestly, is Ramsey.
Yes. So yeah, Ramsey and Hazel took my August favorite with Bull Rush.
It
what
was
about
so
you?
Good.
What's your August fave?
My August favorite is My Favorite Boss by Melanie Moreland. This one surprised me, honestly, when I was looking at August. I had a really hard time with August, and it's not that it was bad. It's just like I read so many things that were so good in August. But her first book that I ever read by her was My Favorite Kidnapper, which is like... Mm-hmm. It's not an intercollected like standalone, but like
All
at
I
the
think
same
about
time...
is that- cute cover with the bacon
yes!
cupcake.
Yes. Yes. And it's like purple and yeah. It's an age gap in that one. And he literally kidnaps her because he's obsessed with her little cakes. Like I shit you not. That's the main plot, but it's so good. And I loved Dante in that. Like I ate it up. So I was like, I don't know about like, I honestly also don't read that much workplace romance. And this is a workplace romance. Alexander Bain and his assistant, Magnolia Myers, are an HR fucking nightmare.
I always wonder about that. Who's calling HR?
I know. I'm like, not only because they are normally fighting and he is a coffee thief and a sandwich thief, but then they always end up in these situations as the book goes on. And the HR lady is always like, what the fuck? Why is it always me that walks in on you guys? But it's like literally laugh out loud funny. It's so spicy. Like, I don't want anyone to think like, oh, rom-com. No, this shit is spicy. It is so good. He's a cat daddy to a stray
Ooh,
little cat that they name Hedgie. Man, she puts him right in his place too. There's just something about like the meek, shy one that's like, you know what? Out of all the people, it's not going to be my boss that like tells me what to do and all this shit. And I don't know. I ate it up. I love Melanie Moreland. I was like, found her through My Favorite Kidnapper. Then I, she was writing some other stuff. She writes a lot of older characters normally, like mid-50s, early like 50s, finding their love again. And she has a whole like, what is that called? Like mechanic shop type, like chop shop type of series. And that was really good. So then when she was like, I'm coming out with like another one, I was like, okay, I don't know about it. It's so good. It's literally so good. So Magnolia is just so sassy, but like, she's like just a total nerd and like loves spreadsheets and loves to be an assistant and like knows, like likes her coffee and all these things in very certain ways. So then like when this like big gruff blonde, he's blonde, which hardly ever makes my ranks. When he comes in and like just starts literally fucking up her whole life, she's like, you're going to stop. Like, you are literally, someone's going to put in your place, and I guess it's me. And
I guess I'll take that job on.
Yes, it's so good. It's just hilarious. Like, there are books that make me laugh out loud, but I remember crying of laughter because it was just
I love those
so
books.
Funny. I love Melanie Moreland. I truly, truly love her. She has an anthology that just came out that has this very cool character in it. Name Libby, love. Who's obsessed with cowboys. What? Me? I know.
No. That's a lie.
Right? I'm like, no, she's crazy. So good. You can read, like, and like I said, you can read My Favorite Kidnapper and like it be that, and or you can just completely pick up with My Favorite Boss. I don't even know if, I truly can't even remember if Dante like pops up in this one, you know what I mean? I think it's just like, that's just the titles, you know, they're in their own little world. I hope that she does another one. I don't know, but I really love this comedic avenue that she goes down. It's so good. And they're so spicy. I can't believe how much you laugh. And then 10 seconds later, you're like, I'm blushing. You're like, in a workplace? In a closet?
She's making me think of Trelena Pucci, where someone I love has like tons of spice. I was like, is that
like,
terrible?
Yes, absolutely. Yeah. Oh, you're like laughing your ass off, and then you're like, in the supply closet at 2 p.m.? You guys are crazy. It's so good. Love it, love
it. Afternoon delight.
Truly love Melanie. All of you, go read her. So good. So, so good. September,
we have Wolf by Ms. Paisley Hope.
Damn,
I'm so glad she took this leap of faith and went
too.
Where the wind took her, because this Motorcycle Club book is so fucking
and
good.
I don't even like motorcycle clubs that often. I know. Like, it's and very rare. I like, she was my second pick.
Yes, I like, am.
I'm glad that so you picked her to give her flowers for this, because this month was also fucking hard for me. So I'm glad that you picked her, because so good. I like delicious. Genuinely would, I would honestly say I lean more on the side of like, I hate motorcycle clubs because they're a boys club, and we all know that I ride hard for the girls. So the fact that she did literally such a good job,
she
where
did
I was like,
such a good job. And nailed I just it. Read another motorcycle club book right before it, and it was great, but I'm so glad that I read them in that order, because if I would have flipped it,
yeah, if you would have started with Wolf, you would have had a hard time.
I would have had a hard time, because I think I wrote the word unique like 10 times in my one review, because I just kept coming back to it. I'm like, I've read a decent amount of motorcycle clubs.
Yeah.
And
probably more than me.
That's just different.
And it is unique.
Own thing. And she just blew me away with it. I loved Gabriel. I loved Brinley. I felt very connected to her with how she was raised and how she was living her life when we first meet her, and trying to be the best and this good girl and do everything right. And she finally realizes, like, fuck that. Like, I am going to be who I am deep down inside. And if that's a little dark, like, that's okay. And someone's going to love me for that. And he does. And they have some hot as fuck sex on a bike with
my
some
gosh
period sex blood. Yep. Holy fucking shitballs.
It's so good.
I've
never read an FMC that like actually was raised the way I was, like almost to the point where I was like, are you stalking me, Paisley? Like, did you know everything about my life in my small little town and about everything I was raised? It's so good. Brynn is so up there.
And then at the end, we get her being a fucking badass, and you touch her, like, man, and you're gonna die.
So, yes, like, another instance where she's like decided, like, you know what? I am a fucking queen, and you are not allowed to touch him. You're not allowed to come anywhere near what's mine.
Yes, his third mistake was underestimating my queen.
Yep. Like, Fucking
right.
She's so good.
So good. I love this book.
It was my second for September. Like, it was really hard. I honestly erased the one I put in like twice. I was like, eh.
And both covers, the original that she had, I thought was beautiful, which I have sitting in my stack. But the other one that she had with the orange spine with the like,
oh,
old,
yeah.
Tiny, I do have retro both covers. Yep. I did just get it. It's beautiful. I love them both. I'm excited to get the next one in the Hounds of Hell series.
I'm so excited.
I'm looking forward to it. I am so
I think
excited.
I'm only gonna like them more and more and more.
Yes. Yep. So I'm
and I
I'm
like
glad she did it because it was
me too
a plan. It just
especially
because
I love to find things that you know like I normally wouldn't read and enjoy. Like I actively would say I try to stay away from motorcycle clubs because I don't want to rage read things. And so this was such a win. She did amazing.
Yes, if you love a motorcycle club book, you know.
Oh yeah, give
right.
it a try, especially. And if you don't, I would say like let this be the one. If you don't like MC, because I know a lot of people are kind. A lot of people do lean with me. Like, well, it's a big boys club. Try this one. You will be
so
pleasantly
good.
Surprised.
I mean, Primal Play. Just there's so many good things in this book. I loved it so very much, and I want to read it again. Honestly,
oh yeah,
soon.
It's so good.
All this right. What's your September?
This is one of the two books that I don't have, which is going to be changed, is what I've decided immediately after this episode. Oh God, Wolf was so good. Like I really had a struggle, but Claire Kinsley blew my fucking mind. I have a thing for Havens this year. She has the Haven Brothers series, and this is book 3, Temptation Trails. What? A fucking fantastic romantic suspense. Holy, I'm gonna hunt down a serial killer. My God, it is so good. Small town, romantic suspense. Deputy Garrett Haven has been searching his whole career for this serial killer that comes around once a year to Haven or to Tillicum. And he then gets sidetracked when the new baker in town, Harper, comes into town. And all of his clues and all of these things he's learning leads right on back to Harper. And then, you know, you're like, okay, well, wait a goddamn minute. You're like, is she? And then you're like, or is she not? Is she the target? Is she the killer?
The fact that you're questioning if she's the killer, I'm like,
it is so fucking good. It is so good. I don't want to spoil anything because, like, it's true. Like, that is a whodunit that I got wrong. And I was like,
ooh,
are you kidding me? I have another whodunit I got on here wrong. What the fuck? Of course they were my tops. I'm like, you guys got me. It truly is so good. He's a single dad as well. And their meet cue is, like, his son stealing pastries. And so then, like, that's how they come back is he, like, makes him up, take him back, and, like, makes him work off his debt.
Yeah,
and then, like, slowly. As things like as slowly as his son and her start getting closer, he starts to realize that there's all these like missing pieces that line up to her, but she just got into town. So it's so good.
I'm intrigued.
It literally is. It's one of the best romantic suspense books I've ever read. It's like literally up there with Indigo Ridge. Truly. Like I was like, are you kidding me? I was so surprised. And just a random side note, one of the funniest things about this series is, so this is Tillicum, Washington, or Tillicum, Alaska. I literally can't remember. It's like right, I don't know. They're like right on the edge. They go to the mainland, I think, which is Washington a lot. But they have a squirrel problem,
okay.
Which is like the most random side, like plot of this book. But it's in every book of this. And they have like a squirrel protection squad. She has like all of this merch she came out with like four of these squirrels because like that's how big the squirrel subplot line like became in the Claire Kinsley world. And I just want everyone to know, like, you're gonna be like literally reading about something so dramatic about a serial killer and then someone's gonna be like, those fucking squirrels. It's just so good. It's so funny. I truly think I'm gonna have to buy like the squirrel protection squad crew neck because
heck,
it is so good. Claire, she's always been a good one. She's always wrote small town, but this was, I think, her first series jumping into romantic suspense. She nailed it. Like her and
That's so amazing when authors can do that and blow people
and, like,
away.
And not to like toot my own horn, but to like do it so well that like there are people who cannot figure it out. Like, because I feel like that's something that I am good at. Like, I genuinely love finding the whodunit early. Like, I love getting it right. I love knowing by, like, chapter 3, and then it proves to be right. So then when you're reading this shit, and then it gets to the end, and you're like, I was wrong.
Excuse me?
And you're questioning the author. You're like, wait, I think the author was wrong. The author wrote it wrong.
but I guess it does add up. You know?
Yes, she's so good. I actually just found out I got approved for like the next one. So I'm really excited. I love her. I am definitely leaning into my romantic suspense era. I feel like as I was rounding out the end of the year.
Is she in Mafia or is that someone else? Ivy King, is she Mafia? Maybe I'm getting her confused.
I think you're thinking of someone else. She wrote what I know as the original, not that it's like not original, but like, you know how the Sullivans and the King are rivals in the same town? Claire wrote a series like that as well, where they were rival families. And that's kind of how I found her. Those are the ones that have all the really cute old red truck on it.
Oh,
I don't know
if you see. Yeah.
That's that series. She just released a Christmas book for that small town series, like The Grump That Stole Christmas or something like that, just came out. But I believe this is her first time doing romantic suspense, and she's nailed it. Each book keeps getting more suspenseful, and I'm just like, oh my god, what's in store for book 4? Probably me getting it wrong.
Something to look forward to.
I know, I'm honest, which makes me thrilled. I'm like, oh my god, you guys are pulling a fast one on me. October! Oh my god, Arkageddon was gonna be the fucking death of me.
This is a rough month for and the amount of books.
And I picked something that was not an arc. Like, that's actually, like, surprising. Well, it was the best. But, like, I was surprised. I was like, wow, out of all of these things.
Well, my pick, it was an arc.
Was it?
yes, it was Just Between Us by Lena Headrick.
Oh, my God.
Royal and Veda. Oh, my gosh. I love them. Royal.
That little black cat tattoo took me out in chapter 3.
Yes.
So early.
Just the best. I had been intrigued by him from the first mention of his name way back in book 1 of the Sullivans. Like,
yep, when they were at the auction and you were like, he's auctioning off a tattoo. We were all like, what? Whose tattoo? What do you mean?
And you get to learn more about, I mean, we already knew his past because of the overarching story with their mom and everything, but like to learn more in his point of view and what he remembers from that time frame.
Yes.
It's just like,
you do learn a lot in his book, though.
So like his much. Like, yes.
Like his book is just like, he's not even your favorite, like he's still an important book. Like you would be thoroughly confused.
Yes. Because I felt like so much of that mystery was answered and solved in this one. And you have Veda coming in as a person not from out of towner and coming to help JP actually look into
I thought
into
I was going to die when I realized how much JP was going to be in the book.
Because
I genuinely wasn't comprehending it at first. Like, even though we knew, she was like, Veda works for JP or like works for the Kings. And I was like, yeah, Veda works for the Kings. But then when I like saw him on page, I was like,
and I felt like she was a beautiful bridge between the siblings. Because I think at this point, like some of the siblings aren't really confident in what they can trust from JP because of
not
how closely he
all.
Is to working with his dad in the company,
mm-hmm.
you know? And so her coming in and being this unbiased third party to take a look at it and see the bigger picture.
And she has her suspicions at first too.
She does.
But then once she starts learning, she's like, wait a minute, this goes way deeper than anyone even knows.
Yes. And she's dealing with her own demons and things from her past and trying to figure out who she is and what she wants. Yes. Taking her under her wing and just...
I love the way they meet.
I mean, just like, I feel like I'm going backwards and all over the place, but I'm just like, I love this book so much. But
it
Royal
really
and
good.
Veda's meet cute is hilarious on the dating, not dating app, but the, like, just
the website.
The website. And
it's pretty much OnlyFans, but I think it's called something else.
I forget the name of it too,
but it's like essentially an OnlyFans.
Pulse? Was it Pulse? The Pulse
something.
App? Something like that.
OnlyFans was probably trademark. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. But the fact that they're both on it and Royal's doing
it's the
content
tattoos.
Creation and it's the tattoos. And
the fact that she finds out first. I feel like a lot of times when you're reading those situations, it's the guy like, shit, like I saw, like I remember her freckle. You know what I mean? Like, oh, she has but like for her to realize and then her be like, I have to go. I like literally have to go.
The panic like instantly sets in, and by the time he figures out, I love that they were like dancing and like trying to keep a straight face at Abel and Sloan's wedding, and he's throwing her handle name around out there. Yep. And it's just, and they're all sitting at the table and they're talking about golden retrievers and black cats. And
I was down bad though for him when he tattooed literally my little tattoo that I have up here.
Before they even met.
By chapter three, I was like, oh shit. I was like, that is a man right there who is truly down bad for her. Yep.
And then you get the dom side of him and her being submissive and wanting to learn and teaching her a lot of praise.
Yes. Like, I like that he wasn't like a degrading dom.
No, he was a praise dom, and he gives her a collar at the end.
Oh my gosh.
Lord have mercy. One of my favorite collar moments. Love it. Because
JP hasn't came out, but like he's behind, like he's right there behind Whip, truly. Like they could teeter. Poor Abel.
Abel's my second royalist. He's not number
one. He's not bad. It's just like
I don't think Whip's bad they at got all either, but fall he's some, in my bottom.
I always say it, like even Taylor Swift has to have a last ranking song.
Yep, she does.
And so
you know, but he is so good. Story. It was so good. And I loved how much she had a part in taking down Russell. Like, she was key to that. And at first I was like, don't do it, don't do it. But it ended up fine.
Yeah.
And she was
their book in charge. Was did it. Set up beautifully. Like, I'm excited for JP, obviously. But it set it up flawlessly. Like, just the way everything worked out at the end. And then when we get, I'm just like, Lena is so good. Her brain, just like, how did she write like that? I'm like, how do you write literally so perfect?
And I mean, in this book, she's introducing the next series location as we talk about her on an episode. You know, so there's so much in this book that is just deliciousness and highly recommend.
I can't wait. I'm also just excited for MJ, just so everyone knows. Like, I'm not neglecting her. It's just like she hasn't had any time really to shine. I feel like at all. Like,
but I think it's so beautiful that like we're ending the Sullivans and the kids with like, I'm like, daughters.
That's what I was going to say. Yes. Like in one night, like you get to see the most of her. But then I feel like in this series, not that she's been put on the back burner, but like you can clearly tell it's building up.
And just something incredible. We got to see more of her in her like relationship with Red and the caretaking team. I'm just like, I love their little friendship that they have.
She's going to be just as good. And I do love as well. We've talked about it before, but I'm glad that they're ending with strong females.
Yes. Yep. So all right, good. Father Lib, what's your October winner? Oh, shocker.
Yep, I know. I was just like, oh, no, I need to diverse. But like, I would be lying to myself and everyone else. Sunlight is obviously the second part of the duet. Like, they don't end on cliffhangers, but it is a duet because that's it. That's literally all she wrote, folks. Devney said, nope, we were just taking a little pit stop in the Haven River Ranch. And God, it was a pit stop, but like the best, most infinity star-filled pit stop of my whole life. This is, I literally can't even believe I'm saying it, but it's probably the best surprise pregnancy I have ever read. Watch if not the out. Second.
That is the highest of praise.
Oh my gosh, because that's in my top three favorite tropes of all time. Probably like number two. I will defend accidental pregnancy Rex and that trope to the ends of the earth. And Jax, Haven, and Sasha did it absolutely perfect. Flawlessly, like they were just supposed to be a blip in the radar of each other. Then, you know, life happens and she ends up staying. And so they are complete fucking strangers that are communicating to the best that they can. Like it is open communication, but still as strangers. Like the whole premise of this book relies on tell me a lie and tell me a secret. That is like the catchphrase throughout all of it. They're trying to get to know each other. They're trying to have open conversation. Should we keep the baby? Should we not? Like, can we be split single parents raising a kid on our own? Can we come together? How does co-parenting work? And through those conversations, they ask, tell me a lie and tell me a secret. And then you get to the end where it's like, tell me a lie. I don't love you. And it's like, tell me a secret. You know what I mean? It's just like, it is absolutely beautiful. It is real. It is complex. But like, is what people that don't like surprise to know pregnancies, what they want. Like they are two strangers trying to figure out how to communicate. Like that's just 100% the way it is. Cause he's also still a cowboy. She's trying to find her place like amongst this tiny little crew. Cause it's just two brothers. And then, so that's, and you know, and their dad and this huge Haven River Ranch that they're running. So she's trying to find her place in there because she doesn't want to just be The mother, like, she just doesn't, you know, she doesn't want to be like, well, we got pregnant and now I'm here. Like, she wants to have her spot. Yeah, she wants a purpose. She wants to have her spot. And Jax does the most fantastic job of making her know, like, we can do this. And, like, you can still be a fucking person. Like, you are still a human being without, like, outside of being the mother of my child. It is absolutely beautiful. You will cry, like, just because it is beautiful. Like, it is the type of communication where you're like, God, wouldn't life be so easy if just people could be open like this? And yeah, it's so good. I'm like, I could cry right now because I just am so sad that, like, there's nothing more. But Devney didn't leave it in a way where you're wanting more, if that makes sense. Like, you want more because they were infinite, like infinity stars, but you're not left with any questions. You're not left.
Everything's
wrapped up perfectly. Concluded. You get a really good, like, in the future epilogue just to see how they're all doing and living. And it is truly so beautiful. Like, I doubt there will, I mean, I love Divine Rivals. I know this is going completely off, like, topic a little bit, but, like, that's a duet, like, Divine Rivals mm-hmm. and Ruthless Vows. But I did not rate them Infinity Stars. Divine Rivals got Infinity Stars, but I gave 5 stars to Ruthless Vows. So for these to both be Infinity Stars and wrapped up in their perfectness, like, I don't know what more to tell you guys. Like, even if you're like, I literally hate accidental pregnancies, you won't hate this one because I don't know how you could hate it. There's none of the topics or the points that, like, people would give.
As you what can't, they don't like
you,
about
you, like, literally can't bring them up in this because Devney was like, I'm going to show the whole world that you can write an accidental pregnancy that everyone would love. I'm so sad it's over. I'm like, I'm so sad it's over, but it truly will live in its infamy. Like, it's so good. It is just beautiful. Like, it's gonna change your whole world, Brittany. You're gonna be like, fuck, excited. I'm never gonna read another one as good as that. Like, I bet you it makes Lena's go to 2.
Take one night down a notch.
And I loved One Night. Like, Daddy Duke, you're kidding. Like, my God. But it's so beautiful. It's one of the most beautiful small town books. Devney gave, like, I swear she, like, sold her soul to the devil for these ones. They are so good. November.
All right. November, we have Lost and Lassoed from Ms. Lila Sage. Rebel Blue Ranch. I love this one. I ate it up. It's the third book in the series, so we've already seen the Gus and Teddy tension that's been building from the first 2 books, and their banter is real banter, and yeah, it is good, and it's not cruel, though, which I appreciate, but I mean, they're not fans of each other, and
no.
that's clear, but you've read this one, right?
Mm-hmm.
I was surprised about what happened in the past. I guess I just didn't think that was going to
be a thing. I think it surprised me, too. Yeah, it surprised me as well.
I was like, okay, well, I guess this is making more sense. But I loved how she needed to find something because the boutique was closing and he was struggling trying to do it all for everybody. But unfortunately, things were slipping through the cracks. And one of those things was Riley and her, just making sure she was getting from A to B because Cam was out of town. And I love their co-parenting relationship. P.S. Like, that is one of the most beautiful co-parenting relationships I have ever read about. Like, love
without a doubt.
Cam saves the day at the end. Like, I love her. But anyway, back to Gus and Teddy. I felt like it was perfect how she needed something to do. He needed help. And so she steps in and becomes this wonderful influence and nanny to Riley. And their moments together are just some of the
out
most
of this world precious.
Yes. I loved the moments. And I loved Gus's vulnerability about, like, I'm a terrible dad and I'm failing. And
it was so nice. I mean, I know it's still just a book, but it was so nice to, like, read about a vulnerable man.
Yes, because you hear about the single moms thinking that they're not doing enough and they're failing. And, like, to have it be the single dad, like, just being like, I'm not doing enough.
Because we all feel like that. Like, I feel like even as, like, mothers, we all feel like that. So even though it was wrote by a woman, like, it was so nice to just read it on page. Like,
yes. And then you get Teddy's relationship with her dad, Hank, which was so nice. And I mean, at the end, Lila talks about her dad, and I was such a daddy's girl, so I feel like this one took the top spot for me. I felt so much joy reading this book, and I know there's not a lot of angst in it, which I know a lot of people appreciate in their books, but I appreciated this for not having the angst.
It was a very good fluff, like, not all fluff, but it, like, I would put it more towards that, but it was really good. Oh my God, romance. Brooke Rex, she said that I was a teddy, and that just about destroyed my soul. Oh. I was like, thank you.
Thank you.
I
love the little detail about her, like, being a, like, semi-artist and, like, painting the scene from, and her dad's like, what are you talking about? You're just painting. You're painting a view of a certain spot. Like, take a step back.
You take a step back because we can all see what you're doing and your glory. Like, I loved it. It was so good.
I do have to say, I was slightly disappointed in Miss Emmy. I wanted her to handle things just a little bit differently because of what she went through in her book. Like, I was like, oh, why did we have to do this? But there had to be a conflict somewhere. And so that was it. And the way that they worked through it, I do appreciate it. And I loved it. But I was just like, girlfriend, stop it.
I know. After I know from book one to that, I was like, it hurt a little bit.
It did hurt a little bit.
It hurt a little bit. But then I like that we got it all wrapped up bow.
Yes. In the rock fucking Jasmine. Like, just phenomenal. The proper use of the F word, I was like,
literally.
Perfect use, right context. Love it.
Oh.
All right. What's taking your November top spot?
Broken Harbor by Katherine Cowles, who is a brand new author to me this year. I don't know how. I honestly don't remember signing. Don't remember signing up for Fragile Sanctuary, but I guess I did. It was probably through Valentine or something, if I'm being honest. And I got that fucking whodunit wrong. And then, you know me, I was on a mission determined. I was like, well, book two, Delicate Escape, wrong. And I was like, okay. Well, and they're all 5 stars and great. And then I was like, you know what? Broken Harbor is where I'm going to take a turn for all of it. I'm going to get it right. Catherine?
Wrong again.
I'm like, what the fuck is your middle name, Cowles? Because you, young lady.
Middle name moment.
Literally holy shit boss. Like, you truly, like, even more so than Claire. Like, you're like, I know it. And then you're like, next chapter, you're like, I don't know anything. And then the next chapter, you're like, no, it definitely has to be him. And then you're like, I actually lied to you. I literally don't know fucking anything. And it's so good. Keeps you on your toes. Coop Coulson, he is a hockey player and back in town. And Sutton owns the bakery and she is a single mom. And I think it's Luca. I truly can't remember. That's terrible. But her son wants to get signed up for one of these hockey things. And Coop ends up being one of his like hockey coaches while he's in town.
Oh, fun.
So that's how they meet. And it is Luca. And he has he's trying to understand, like he's trying to not fall for her because she's the parent of one of his players, that he's teaching. And then you realize the more and more that this young lady's in danger. This is a true heroine in danger. There is some crazy ass shit going on, and that's why the whodunit, I was just like, are you joking? It was one of those books, almost like Frank's Wife, where I wanted to be like, I think I'm gonna have to re-fucking start it immediately, because like, where were the signs?
I go wrong.
I was like, what? I mean, it made perfect sense, but I was like, what? It's so good. She's also dealing with a lot of trauma and healing throughout all of this, but it's done so beautifully, like woven in, that nothing feels neglected. Like every point is hit, and like I'll just never get over the whodunit. Like I remember texting Literary Botanicals Eva, because she like also found Katherine Cowles this year through this series, and we were like, she was like, I was like, I got it. She was like, no, I got it. And she was like, you're wrong, I'm wrong. And then at the end we were like, shit, both of us literally didn't even see option number 3 over here. So good. I can't wait for the next one. I'm sad that the series like coming wrapping up so quickly. Not that it's like, you know what I mean, authors gotta take their time putting shit out, but I'm also like, girl, slow down. Like, only put out one of them a year, because it's so good. But I have heard, for anyone that hasn't read her yet or has only read this, that every single book of hers like is a 5-star. Like, they are all 4 and 5 stars.
She was on my 10 before the end. She's one of them that we're just not getting to in 2024.
That's okay.
But she will be a priority for 2025.
Yes, that is okay. I think one of my goals, like besides like rereads is I would like to try to backlist her because she does have a big backlist.
Standalone coming out next month, right?
All the Missing Pieces. That's like a serial killer podcast. Like, I bet you the whodunit's fucking insane in that one, since it's truly like she's like labeled it as serial killer. Yeah. So that one's going to be great. But she has like five other series that are all five books. So I'm very excited. I started racking them up during the audiobook sale because they were all like $4, like $4 or $5. So I started racking them all up. So she is someone that they won't be rereads, but I am very excited to just backlist, take the time to go back and read her. And I am excited to read her new one in January, All the Missing Pieces. Eva read it and I was like, is the whodunit everything? She's like, you'll never see it coming. And I was like, okay.
Great.
I was like, game on. Like, I'm coming into this is like a whole
challenge
new person.
Challenge accepted.
I'm going to be crazy and have like a huge fucking whiteboard up here. Like, listen.
Get those strings out.
I'm like, listen, Brittany, you don't even know what's going on, but who do you think did it up here? She's so good. I can't wait for you to read her just because I know you'll love her. Like,
yeah,
I know you're going to genuinely love it.
Jordan have been raving about her.
Oh my God. Yes.
Jordan Reeds, who was on the pod earlier this year, she's just obsessed with her.
Such a good episode. You're going to love it. I'm really excited for you to dive in and to any of her backlist. Like, I really am excited. That's always so exciting when someone can tell you.
I think I am still going to start with
Delicate
Escape in this series.
What's it called? Sparrow Falls is what this one is called. But I would, just so you're caught up, you know, what's going on. But I think it's really exciting when your top people who you take recs from tell you, like, you're not, like, don't worry. Like, I read all of Lena and I was like, you guys can read it and not be worried about it. Like being crappy or something because it's still amazing.
My mom is reading.
I know. I'm so excited.
Beckett right now.
Catfish Kate, poor girl. Like, same with like A.L. Jackson. I always tell people, like, you want someone that has 75 books that you can backlog and not miss a beat, AL. Like, and especially like, just random side note that she came in like for your next one, but way in the past is how I was introduced to these Lawson Bros. I'll let you take it away for December because this one was hard for me not to put her on here. This is why I was telling you earlier, folks, like, this is the first time I think AL has not been in it, but there was just too many good books this year.
I didn't know what to do. Getting AL on the list for the Smudge Eddie podcast because I am saying From Here to Eternity is my favorite book of December. Real quick, my mother did read Time River by her.
Oh, yeah.
She thought it was a little too suspenseful and she was having crazy ass dreams.
Oh, God. Don't let her read Catherine.
I know. So I was like, okay. She's like, I think I need more romance. And I was like, okay, well, it is still romance, but you just don't need the suspense aspect.
Yeah.
Okay. We got it. We got it, Mama Footnotes. We got that.
Whenever I think of that series, I just, on the first thing that pops in my head genuinely is Ezra's bitch ass of a mom.
Yeah.
Every time. Like,
she sucks ass. She's on the list.
She just sucks ass. Like, you don't really get to add very many.
See you next Tuesday.
You don't get to add very many moms to the Smut Daddy punch list. But every time I think of that series, I'm like, damn, you really took the cake, girl.
Yes. So I did jump in with From Here to Eternity. I did not go back and read the Redemption Hills. I did not go back and I was not lost in any way. But am I intrigued and want to go back and read it? Yes, even more so now. You know, like, I will make the time to go back and read those stories.
Oh,
but
God, I'm really excited for you, honestly. I think you're really going to like Joe.
You guys might not know this, but I have a thing about the name River.
Yep.
This River Tate is quite the MMC. We have another tattoo artist. I have a thing for tattoo artists, apparently, too.
I know. This one was hard. I think it was genuinely, like, my number 11.
Was it?
Or, like, 13. You know what I mean? It was, like, right there.
Yeah. No, I loved it. It's small town secret society. It's, like,
yep.
I would call it, like, MC adjacent, almost.
Yeah, like, it's, like, when you read when you read Redemption Hills, it's more MC, obviously.
Yeah.
But it ties in beautifully to this new world. Like, I wouldn't consider that series Secret Society. You know what I mean?
Which one? Redemption Hills?
Like, I wouldn't say Redemption Hills is Secret Society. That's MC.
No, that's more MC,
but
right?
Then, like, this one is definitely more Secret Society.
Yes.
But I like that you see the club and the Lawson brothers. Like, that's literally the only reason this exists.
Yes, exactly. And to see these rough men that have lived a tortured past out here doing the Lord's work, like on a mission to save vulnerable women and children from shitty ass situations.
Yes, I mean, just it's like, beautiful.
It is so good.
I wish it was a TV show. And I rarely say that about books. It would be such a good fucking TV show.
It would. It absolutely would. And then you've got Charlie, this FMC, who is a heroine on the run, literally.
Yeah.
Like, constantly moving, grieving still from a tragedy that happened 5 years in the past and just not wanting to form connections or friendships with anyone.
20 questions. Love that's like my,
that
that's
he played
literally
that card.
That's my favorite thing about the whole book, I genuinely think.
Yes, and I think sometimes text conversations are, not that they're not done well or over, I just, sometimes
they're overused.
Better than others. They are overused. No. But this one, I felt like it made
it was,
so much sense for their
was
bonding
like
and their relationship.
Integral.
To start
yeah.
Their, yes.
It was so integral to the
and
way
to
that they
the
worked.
Because he knew, like, that she was.
She's not going to speak those words out loud.
She was spooked, right. He knew that, like, any little thing could set her off and send her packing. I mean, he literally stops her at the bottom
and
of the steps.
And I love that he took the time to figure that out, like, right
yes.
away. Like, okay, if I'm going to figure this out and get to know her and figure out how to help, like, then I'm going to have to play her game. And play
and
her game, did he?
It. Yes, he does it well. And, oh, my gosh, his little boy, Nolan.
Who's that weird to read?
Yes.
I don't think I ever asked you that since you just read it, but I was like, I wonder if that was weird to read for her.
It was a little odd, but I was just like, because I was thinking like, oh my gosh, he had so many like heartwarming, touching moments, and then I'm like picturing my husband in my
You're
head.
You're like, that is
time.
Literally not that.
I'm like,
my husband would probably do something different.
Yeah, that's not how Nolan would handle that situation as a 40-year-old man. But it was
right.
I loved little Nolan. He was so cute. I did pick up what was going down in this storyline. Not like I had an inkling, but then I was like, no, there's no way. And we're just going to put that in the back of your mind. And then as we kept going mm-hmm. and like we get to one spot and I'm just like the birthmark. I'm like, oh, my God.
Yep.
My God. My God. And I was just.
I know. And as someone who has read, I think it's really interesting for me, not to like take over for a second, but like that I found AL through Give Me a Reason, the first book in Redemption Hills.
Trent.
Many, yeah. Yep, Trent Lawson, holy shit, you want to talk about a man that took Little Libby's reading journey by storm because he's this badass MC guy, like shaved head, fully tattooed, pulling up to a freaking church, like it's a church school, and he's like, yeah, I think I love her, that weird young little nun. I'm like, you can't love her, you're not allowed to, like that's so not allowed. So I just thought it was so cool and such a full circle moment. I had no idea, like literally there was never one thought in my mind when I finished Redemption Hills that there would be more. So then when she dropped it this year, because she dropped it first with a random teaser, like literally
yeah.
it was the black screen with the pink outline and it said something like, and we're going back to where it all started. And I texted my mom and I was like, Amy is going back to Redemption Hills. And my mom was like, that series been over for 4 years. I'm like, Amy is going, AL, that's her real name if you didn't know guys. But I was like, Amy's going back to Redemption Hills. And then when she did, I was like, holy shit. Like,
I know.
I just couldn't even believe it. And so like, and it didn't take anything away from Redemption Hills. And
no, and they
it didn't
were compliments
set,
to the story. And
oh
I wasn't
my
lost
God.
Or confused See, on
and
anything.
Seeing the Lawsons like on page, I just felt like it was such a cool moment for like some of Amy's like OG readers
yes.
like that have been following along. I just was like, wow, we went through all of Time River. You know, there's been so many other things she's wrote in between. And I'm just like, wow, like that was just so cool. And done beautifully. Like
it
as
was.
Someone who just has loved her forever, they can stand alone, like obviously. But
yes.
it was just, so, they are the perfect compliments. I can't wait to see more Lawsons on page. I'm so
yes.
excited.
I felt joy again throughout this whole story. And River was just the best with giving her what she needed and taking the time with her trauma and her past. And at the end with him tattooing her, I was just like, what a beautiful full circle moment. I loved it. It was a great way to end my year.
I love
it, Amy.
How
are you ending your year? What's your favorite end
I'm actually kind of surprised. Not that I didn't think I wouldn't like it. But Wyatt, I finished my arc of Wyatt. The day it came out. And holy cowboy Casanova. I would like that man to wrap me up in a lasso and give me spicy lessons any day. Wyatt by Jessica Peterson. She was just on the podcast. And don't let that deter you, because we have had other people on here that we can't pick them all. But holy shit. I just think it struck out so much to me is because I was like, I don't know if this woman's going to be able to beat Cash. That's honestly what I was afraid of. I loved Cash and Molly so much that I was like, am I fucked? Like, is the rest of the series, like, gonna go downhill with the brothers? Wyatt and Sally are absolutely perfect for each other. Like, genuinely two complete ends of the balancing scale.
Friends to lovers, not one of your favorites.
It's not one of my favorites, friends to lover. It's literally a cowboy playboy and a way too smart veterinarian. Like, she's way too smart for her own good and for him. Like, that's a big point of it all. But I loved all of it. I loved that they were friends. I loved the inside jokes. The spicy lesson, are you shitting me? There is something about being like
a good teaching moment.
Yeah, you're like, I need you to teach me. It's so good. And the sneaking around aspect, because her dad is so against the two of them being together because he feels like Wyatt is holding her back. There's a moment where he sneaks over there and he's like, you better be quiet or your dad's gonna hear. And I was just like, you know what? I will be quiet. Anything, literally anything for you, please, sir. Then you get to the lassos, and I literally thought I was like blushing. I was like, that not safe for artwork's gotta probably be really fucking good. I ordered my copy, so like it should be coming in. And as soon as I get it, folks, even if that doesn't have anything to do with the episode, I'll hold it up because
we'll hold that up again.
Oh, so good. Like, not only is it's so cool to have authors come on here and just like actually get to deep dive into their brain, but then when you read their work and genuinely love it, you're just like, oh my god, like I feel like I really understand Jessica and I'm really starting to get her groove. And I'm so excited for Sawyer. That's what honestly also solidified it for me. I was like, I think that Sawyer is truly meant for Father Lib, but God, everyone rewrite. It just came out yesterday, right?
Yes.
Yeah. So it's truly such a banger to want to end my year on. I'm going to read Training the Heart New Year's Eve. I'm probably going to sneak in two more audiobooks. I haven't decided what they are yet. But God, I just love a cowboy.
That's
if
so
that's
good.
Not obvious, I'm like with my little cowboy hats everywhere around, but you're going to love it. When I was reading it, I was like, Brittany is gonna eat this up. She's actually gonna eat this shit right on up.
Love it.
So good. Sally is just a force to be reckoned with. Like, I love that she's like, you don't get to tell me what to do when I'm figuring out my own life. I can be smart, can be with the cowboy, I can have it all.
Yeah. Yes, you can, girl.
God, what a year.
It was such a good year.
Holy bananas. So, I'm going to wrap up my year with like 325.
Okay. See, I think I'm going to be ending. I just finished my last audiobook of the year, Lights Out, which was phenomenal. 10 out of 10 recommend. And I'm currently doing my last eyeball read of The Syndicator to finish out The Dark Verse.
Yes.
And then I will finish my year at 191. So I did meet my goal of 180.
Damn, that is so good.
But I'm like, oh, what are we going to do for next year? We might have to lower that a little bit.
I read a lot, obviously. Everyone knows that. Plus, I'm very blessed to get like ALCs. Like when I'm saying like, oh, that was an arc, a lot of times they're ALCs, which is so great because I can truly listen to a book and comprehend it in a day. A goal of mine is to literally read like genuinely, it's still a lot, but no more than 200. Like,
yeah,
I want to slow down. I want to pace myself. I feel like even more realistically would be like 150.
I was gonna say, I think I'm setting mine at 150.
Because I know that once it starts getting into spring and once I have a child again, like a baby with a toddler entering into terrible threes, like I know that things are going to slow down, take a back burner, but I'm genuinely so excited for it. Like, to slow down, to...
Yes.
Not that I'm not enjoying things, but I definitely... This was the year I had the most 4- and 5-star forgets of my whole reading career. You know what I mean? Like, more than not...
The details are not sticking.
Right. And I'm... Like, that's why I'm excited to go back and reread things, maybe even from this year, but but because like I remember the details from 2020 books and 2021, like I'm like, okay, well, they're still so there and gripping my soul that I'm like, okay, like I'm ready to go back. I'm ready to do those. Read new things still, but just slow down.
I'm definitely wanting to be able to read more on my own schedule, not someone else's schedule so much.
And like, we love reading, but I feel like I have lost the spark a little bit because October just about killed
Burnout
me.
Is a real thing.
Oh my God.
Book slumps are a thing too, you know?
October, I thought was going to end me this year. Not only because of the pregnancy, but when I had like 37 arcs, I was like, you know what? Maybe we just turn in all of it. We just shut the whole thing down. So.
And I'm over here panicking with 7. Like, what the hell? You guys, this is too much.
But it was a damn good year of reading still. Like,
it was.
I loved it. And we killed it. 18 episodes of the podcast in our first 3 months. We are getting I know. We are getting locked and loaded too. How many weeks are there in a year?
52.
There should be. I mean, subject to change because I'm having a child. But my goal is to have 52 episodes out next year. So
fingers crossed.
We're all rocking and rolling. No, we chatted some about it, but next week we will come back with our set 2025 New Year resolution for books, hood, life, all things. We will just chat about all of it. Then we have some fun author interviews and guest interviews coming. So don't think we're slowing down with the podcast. We are chucking along. Honestly, very excited. I feel like we finally are finding our groove. And
yes.
I love it. This is so good. This is so good.
It was a good wrap-up episode.
It was. So I hope you
all... Shocking, our rapid fire didn't go so rapidly.
I mean, 24 books is a lot to talk about. I still feel like we nailed it.
We did a great job.
I can't help it, okay? This is my love language. So
it's our passion, okay?
Yeah, you guys are lucky that we want to talk to you so much. All my books are falling over. But no, this was a great year. We hope you all had a good Christmas and holiday, and that you guys have a great new year, that you have found a book that you love from this podcast. That's like the ultimate dream, is that we recommended something that you guys love, and we are genuinely so excited to see what 2025 brings us for the Smut Daddy podcast. Until the new year, I am your host, Father Lib.
And I am your co-host, Sister Britt.
And we will see you guys next time. Peace and blessings.
Peace and blessings.
Bye. Bye. Bye.